Amen. Thank you for that special. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. We've been following the Lord, and he's gone up to Jerusalem from Galilee for the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, one of the three main feasts when the Jewish men were required to go up to Jerusalem, and Jesus is there. He waited a little while to go, so the Jews were looking for him, and when they found him, he was teaching in the temple, and they've been questioning him, and as always, not believing in him. But in the middle of the feast, he went up in the temple and taught. They were amazed at his teaching, because how could a man from Nazareth, the carpenter, teach all that he was when they didn't know their letters? But Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And we're going to pick up tonight at verse 25. If you're able, let's stand together. In verse 24, Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And we pick up at verse 25. "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, I pray that you've been glorified in what we've done today. And Lord, if there are things that we've said or done or failed to do that have not brought you glory but have grieved your spirit, I pray you would convict our hearts. Help us to repent, help us to confess, and help us to live each day to bring you glory. Please bless your word now. Help us to see Jesus, to know you, to be known of you, and to make you known. Please help me now, for I'm nothing without you. I pray that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said in the midst of this discourse that's been going on, that Moses gave them the law in verse 19, "Yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go you about to kill me?" And the people said, "You got a devil who's trying to kill you." But that those people were the ones who knew that they were trying to kill him, and they were trying to make excuse. But when in verse 25, some of them of Jerusalem said, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill?" So it was no secret that there were those who were trying to kill Jesus, wanted to kill Jesus. So they were very perplexed. The perplexed public say, "This is he whom they seek to kill." Back in John chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says that therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So they have been trying to kill him all this time. So the people don't understand, because Jesus is standing up preaching boldly, preaching openly there. "Lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him." Later, much later in John chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says, "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." Jesus spake openly, he spake boldly, and he was there boldly, openly preaching. And so the people are confused, because they said the priests and the chief priests and the Pharisees, they're trying to kill him, but there he is, openly preaching to them all. "Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Friends, this is one of the most important questions ever asked in the Scriptures. Do you know that this is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, some of the people from Jerusalem, they had an idea of what was going on. They knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. They've heard of his miracles. They've heard his teaching now. And they see the Pharisees who want to kill him, and they're a little confused. So if he's saying the things that he's saying, and the Jews aren't trying to kill him, the priests and scribes aren't trying to kill him, maybe they know that he really is Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Some people figured that out. You'll remember in John chapter 4 when Jesus passes through Samaria and the woman comes there to draw water, and how that woman of Samaria is saved. And you remember how after she trusts Christ, she leaves her water pot behind and runs into the city. And she says, "Come, see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And so the men come, and some believe because of her. But then listen to what they say in John 4:41, "And many more believe because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And friends, I want you to see how close these chief priests, the Pharisees and scribes, get to Jesus. How they have seen his miracles. And instead of trusting in him, they hate him because he healed on the Sabbath day. When they hear him preach, they're astonished at his preaching. They're astonished at the words and the grace that flows from his mouth, his understanding and his knowledge of the scriptures. They're blown away, and they marvel at Jesus and his miracles and his message, and yet they still do not believe because they've hardened their hearts against the God of heaven who they claim to serve. What a sad testimony. But then the confusion continues. They're confused because he's preaching openly and nobody's trying to arrest him and kill him. But then they are confused because they don't know who he is. In verse 27, they say, "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Now, historically, the Jews, they have the scriptures, the Old Testament, but then they also had the writings of the rabbis. And Dr. Lightfoot gives us this from some of those writings. And this is what they believed. Now, this is outside of scripture, but this was Jewish rabbinical teaching. Okay, everybody understand what I'm about to read to you is not Bible. Everybody with me? "The Redeemer shall manifest himself and afterwards be hid. So it was in the redemption from Egypt. Moses showed himself and then was hidden. So on the passage, Song of Solomon 2:9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. They say, the rabbis say, a roe appears and then is hid. So the Redeemer shall first appear and then be concealed, and then again be concealed and then again appear. So the Redeemer shall first appear and then be hid, and then at the end of 45 days shall reappear and cause manna to descend." Now, that's not Bible, but that's the rabbinical teaching. And so when these people say, "We know where this guy came from. We know where Jesus is from. He's Jesus of Nazareth. But when Messiah comes, we won't know where he's from. When Christ comes, we won't know." So that's not Bible. That was just their false rabbinical teachings. It's important to understand, because if they looked in the Bible, they would know. Amen? What happened? When the wise men came looking for Christ, when the wise men came, they went to Herod and he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." The chief priests and the scribes, they knew where Messiah would come from. They knew where the Christ would come from. So they can't say, "We don't know where he's going to come from." Again, in Matthew 2:15, Jesus was there in Egypt when they fled away until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Listen, they knew where Jesus would come from. They knew he'd be born in Bethlehem. They knew he'd be called out of Egypt. Matthew 2:23, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Over and over, you can look to the scriptures and know that they did know where Messiah would come from. They did know where the Christ would come from. And if they looked at the life of Christ at all, they would have known. So they were perplexed. But notice a powerful proclamation of Christ. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying," this is verse 28, John 7:28, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying." Now, I want you to get this. When the Bible says that he cried, he's teaching. Probably speaking loudly, because they didn't have these nifty little microphones and speakers. But with his natural voice, he spoke and taught in the temple. But now it says, as he taught, he cried. This means that he lifted up the voice. This means that he shouted. It means that it's the idea of screaming. He yelled it. He, with a very loud voice. Sometimes a preacher gets loud. Some of you get your feelings hurt because the preacher gets loud. But I'm telling you, some things need to be said loudly. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he saw it, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. So Jesus is teaching in the temple, and while he's teaching, just like it happens all the time, people are leaning over and whispering to each other, and they're talking, and they're murmuring, and all this thing's going on in the crowd while Jesus is teaching. And because Jesus knows all men, and he knows all men's hearts, and he knows all men's thoughts, he knows exactly what they're murmuring about in the crowd. Listen, when I'm up here preaching, sometimes I wonder. You lean over and you whisper something in somebody's ear, and I go, I wonder what they're talking about. You know, I'm like, is my tie messed up? Are they laughing at me? Is it something I said? There's always something. You see people's reactions. But you know, Jesus knew. And he heard their murmurings, and he knew what they were thinking in their thoughts, and he knew what they were talking about. And so he cries out very loudly. And I can just imagine when Jesus screams out that everybody gets quiet. And he says, you both know me, and ye know whence I am. You know who I am, and you know where I'm from, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Jesus has been telling them over and over and over again that it's not about being born in Nazareth. It's not or being born in Bethlehem. It's not about being from Nazareth, because what good thing can come from Nazareth, right? It's not about that. He is from his heavenly Father. And that's what he has been preaching. That is what he has been teaching over and over. I am come from the Father. I am come from God. I and my Father are one. And over and over and over he has told them. Later he would say in John 8:42, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. This was the message that he gave to them. And that's what they were looking for. They were looking for the Christ who came from God. They were looking for the Messiah, the sent one, the anointed one of God, who God would send. And he's been telling them over and over, I'm coming from God. I'm coming from the Heavenly Father. He's the one that sent me. It's not about the fact that I'm from Nazareth, though I fulfilled all those prophecies. I am come from God, and I've come to give my Father's message and to perform my Father's miracles and to perform my Father's work. Over and over, he told them, and he said, you know who I am, and you know where I'm from. I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. In John chapter 14 and verse 7, Jesus said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Jesus taught, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And these people had heard the message of Christ, and they had seen the miracles of Christ, and he said, you know. Friends, I want you to understand tonight that we are without excuse before Jesus Christ. We are without excuse before Almighty God to not follow him. I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Friends, I hope you get how sad it is in verse 28 when he says, he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Listen, Jesus isn't talking to atheists. Jesus is talking to Jewish men who have gathered together for the Feast of Tabernacles. These men believe in God. These men are trying to worship God according to the Old Testament law. These men are there trying to do what they believe God wants them to do. And Jesus says, in all of your religiosity, in all of your ceremony, in all of your offerings, in all of your sacrifices, in all of your ceremony, you still don't know my Father. Friends, that's tragic. I want you to understand the seriousness of this, because it's no different today. Many people are worshiping God in the name of God and doing things for God, and they have a belief in God, but they don't know Him. One day Jesus will declare to them, "I never knew you." And it's not just somebody out there. It's true in every church in the world. Jesus cried in the temple as he taught. This word cried, it means to yell out, it means to scream, it means to shout. But I get a sense of the passion of our Savior. Why did he cry out? Why did he cry out with a loud voice? Why was it that in the midst of teaching he all of a sudden shouts this out? Because it's so very important. And he needed to arrest their attention. And he needed to warn them openly, boldly, publicly, "You don't know God." In verse 30, we see the perplexed public, the powerful proclamation of Christ. Now the powerless people, "Then sought they to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? You might say, well, the Jews killed him, because they arrested him and they're the ones that took him to Pilate. So it was the Jews. The Jews killed Jesus. And there was a time in America when Americans hated Jews because the Jews killed Jesus. You say, no, 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 it wasn't the Jews. It was the Romans that did it, because it was the Romans who scourged him, and it was the Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross, and it was a Roman soldier who, after he was dead, jabbed the spear into his side where the blood and the water flowed out, so the Romans killed him. Who killed Jesus? The answer is, it pleased God to bruise him. Nobody could touch Jesus. He laid down his life. They didn't smite him. He gave his back to the smiters. Do you see? You say, well, they nailed him to the cross. It was the crucifixion that killed him. I want to tell you, friends, he could have stayed there forever if he wanted to. He gave up the ghost. And nobody could touch Jesus until it was the time. In John chapter 8, verses 56 to 59, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Listen, when they wanted to kill Jesus, they couldn't touch Jesus. He just walked through the middle of them. John 18. Verses 4 through 6, "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Listen, the soldiers didn't take Jesus by force. They couldn't even stand up when he declared, I am. Listen, I get it. And please don't misunderstand me anytime I say something like this. I love our Bible and I trust our Bible and it is the Word of God. But that he is in italics there in John 18. Jesus said, I am. And the soldiers fell down. John 19:11. Pilate says, don't you know that I have power to crucify you, to scourge you, and I have power to set you free? And Jesus says, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus said, he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. And they wanted to kill him. But they couldn't touch him, because his hour was not yet full come. They're powerless. What a merciful Savior. To be in the midst of a people trying to preach the truth to them, to have them hate him and want to kill him, and he won't let them touch him because he wants to save them. But then there were the professing people. There were some who were perplexed, but then there were some powerless people, but then there were professing people. The Bible says here in verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Listen, Isaiah 35 and verse 5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And some of these people, the blinders fell off. And they had seen his miracles. And then they had heard his message. And they finally got to the place where they say, what else do we need? What more is anybody ever going to do when Christ comes? Is he going to do more than to make a man walk who'd never walked before in 40 years? To make a man who was born blind able to see? To bring the dead back to life again? Who is going to do more? And so they believe for the very work's sake. They believed. But it's not all good news, because there's a painful prediction. In verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and chief priests and officers to take him. When people started believing in Jesus, when they heard the people saying, Christ isn't going to do more miracles than this, I believe. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard that, they said, okay, we got to stop this. So they send officers to take Jesus. They're going to arrest him. But it seems that Jesus stops them in their tracks by what he says next. In verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Friends, this is a painful prediction. I'm here for a little while, but then I'm going away. And when I go away, you're going to try to find me, but you won't be able to. Because where I'm going, you cannot come. I want you to look with me to Hebrews chapter 6, if you would please, verses 4 through 8. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8 is a hotly debated passage of Scripture, and we've studied it before. But I think it's painfully clear that this passage is talking about unbelievers. And there is some wording here that makes it seem a little different, but I think what we have here in John chapter 7 is exactly what Hebrews 6 is talking about. In Hebrews chapter 6, he begins talking to ye, and he talks about we, and he talks about us. But then he stops in verses 4 through 8, and he starts talking not about we and us, and he starts talking about them and those. There's a distinction. There's a difference. In verse 4 it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth drinketh in that rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But he which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." I got news for you, friends. Those whose end is to be burned are those who never trust in Christ, and they end up in hell. These scribes and chief priests and Pharisees, they heard the word of God and they tasted of it. They even were partakers of the Holy Ghost, not in that they received him inside of themselves, but they saw the miracles. They were there. They were manifest. Maybe even somebody they loved or cared about was healed. I mean, that the Spirit of God was working all around them. They were participants in the work of God, the miracles of God, and the message of God. And yet they've fallen away. What does that mean? Some people preach that you can fall from grace, that you can be saved, and then you fall away from grace. That's nonsense. If you receive eternal life, then you have eternal life. If somebody can't repent, it means that they weren't willing to repent in the first place. What I'm telling you is these people were so close to Christ to have tasted of the heavenly gift, to have been so close to see the miracles and to be so close to the work of God and the message of God, and yet it was not enough for them. They rejected Christ and they turned away. These are people who have fully and finally rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, when you do that, there is no more sacrifice for sins. If Christ isn't enough to save you, you cannot be saved. Jesus said, "I'm here for a little while, but I'm going to go to him that sent me." But he doesn't mention to them what's going to happen in the meantime, because he's going to go to the cross and he's going to suffer and he's going to bleed and he's going to die for their sins. And then he's going to go to his Father in heaven. But they can't go because they won't believe in him. Friends, if you don't trust Christ, if you don't repent and believe in him, there is no hope. If you don't repent and trust Christ, your end is to be burned. I have an idea that those Pharisees and chief priests and scribes had a head knowledge, an intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures, and had more Bible verses memorized than most Christians alive today. I have an idea that from the time they were very young, they were schooled about the Scriptures. But it was so corrupted with false teaching that they missed the truth. And when the very one whom those Scriptures was all about was literally in front of their faces, they missed it. I wonder how many people sit in churches around the world today and they literally have the Word of God in front of their faces. And Christ is preached and they miss it. Now they're perplexed again. Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, that we should not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come'?" What in the world is he talking about? Is he going to go away to some far country and try to find the scattered Jews that are out there? Is he going to go preach to the Gentiles? What does he mean that he's going to go somewhere and we can't come? Where could he possibly go that we couldn't find him? What road could he take? What ship could he sail across the sea? Where could he possibly go that we couldn't find him? I want to invite your attention to John chapter 14 and verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, 'Show us the Father'? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." In John 7, Jesus is dealing with multitudes of Jews. He's contending particularly with the chief priest and the scribes. And he says, "I'm going somewhere, and you cannot come with me. You're not going to get to where I am." Why? Because they would not believe. Later, John 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, these men who believe, these men who have been with him, these men who have trusted in him and who have followed him, and they still don't get it perfectly. They still don't understand it all. "How long have I been with you and you don't get it? Thomas, don't you understand? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you know where I'm going. And you know how to get there. I'm going back to be with my Father, and you get there by trusting in me. Philip, how do you not know? What are you talking about? Show us the Father. You know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. You know." "I don't know a lot. But I know where Jesus is. And I know how to get there." What an incredible opportunity those men had to walk with Jesus in the flesh. But friend, make no mistake about it. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. you can trust in Jesus Christ today, and you can know that where He is, there you will be also. But only if you believe. This evening, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I'd ask you to stand with me. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? I want to ask you tonight, do you know indeed that the Jesus Christ we've studied about in the Word of God tonight is indeed the very Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you know? Do you know Him? And more importantly, does He know you? Have you repented and trusted in Him? And if you have, are we living for Him? Friend, we've got a great message to take to the world, and I just want to challenge you tonight to remember that just because somebody says they got saved, or prayed a prayer, or they go to church, or they've been baptized, none of those things really mean that they're known of God. They may be very religious, but if they don't know Christ and He doesn't know them, they cannot go where He is. We must be obedient to the gospel and trust in His death and resurrection alone. Tonight, if He's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.